Do we know the answer?
To what?
What Meatloaf won't do for love? He will do anything for love, but he won't do that. What? I don't. That's one of life's
what do we think it is?
Great mystery. I mean, everyone's got their lines.
Would Goody do anything for love?
Ooh.
Except keep Sean Clifford on the roster. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. We are, maybe Jason Wilde knows the answer. What Goody won't do for love. He won't get him a number one receiver, I'll tell you that much. But Jason, how you doing today?
Mom, the Meatloaf!
Molly did not know who Meatloaf was. So
No. That is phony baloney. You didn't know who the Red Hot Chili Peppers were.
Well, also phony baloney. But anyways.
No, I know who Meatloaf is. I just don't know his music. I know this song because I believe it was in like a Chips Ahoy commercial. I'm not kidding.
Is that how you know it, Jason?
Yeah. I know it because of the Chips Ahoy commercial. Who doesn't?
Right. I mean,
it was either Chips Ahoy or Swiffer. I can't remember.
It was the peak of Meatloaf's career when he was in a Chips Ahoy commercial. You'd think it'd be a Meatloaf commercial, of all things. But apparently not. Jason, kind of an interesting roster day for the Packers. We asked our fans, was it the Clifford move or the Pratt move? Or I guess you tie Willis into that, or Anders Carlson, or Dylan going on IR. Did anything catch you a little bit off guard or surprise you a little bit today?
By the way, in Meatloaf's obituary, it says he was known for fat out of hell, not for the Chips Ahoy commercial, just to clarify.
I didn't even know he was dead, if I'm being honest. That's terrible.
He died in 2022.
Okay.
So it's been a while. R.I.P. Meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
His actual name was Michael Lee Adey, and now we've officially covered all the ground that we need to on Meatloaf. Look, I don't. Nothing was especially surprising. Now there were some quarterbacks that were released or were rumored to be on the trade block. That when I saw that, the Browns, for example, were shopping both Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston. I didn't expect the Packers to trade for Jameis Winston, but Huntley was interesting. And they were guys that obviously have played a lot more football in games that counted than Malik Willis. So the fact that they made that trade yesterday, we all knew that that meant that they were going to be cutting both of their quarterbacks today. Now, I think many of us are expecting them to bring to bring Sean Clifford back on the practice squad, and maybe he's even the backup in Sao Paulo on the 6th. But here's the only reason why the Anders Carlson thing surprised me, and I was saying this to Homer and Bulaga last night, and of course when they clipped it on social media, it's me saying, you know, I think they're going to keep Anders Carlson, which isn't entirely the truth. I thought that they would be afraid to release Anders Carlson and then have him do what Daniel Carlson, his older brother, did after the Vikings gave up on him, which is go somewhere else and end up being one of the better kickers in the league and kick at a 90% accuracy rate on field goals. Now, maybe they can see the future and they realize that Anders is never going to be as good as his brother, so it's time to cut their losses. But you know, I do find myself wondering if he makes the 32-yard field goal, is he their kicker? Because that field goal that he missed in the fourth quarter, to me anyway, was what underscored his incredible inconsistency. And the guy that missed at least one kick, field goal attempt or extra point attempt, in 10 of their final 12 games last year, it felt to me when he pushed that kick wide right, this is why you can't have him as your kicker. Because it's almost as if you go through a game just waiting for him to miss, because you know he's going to miss once every game. And so I don't know if Greg Joseph did as much to win the job as Anders Carlson did to lose it. That's one of the things that I'm hoping we get to explore with Goody a little bit tomorrow when he speaks. But the bottom line is that, you know, I'm not surprised that They weren't happy with either of the backup quarterbacks. I'm not surprised that Anders Carlson lost his job, just because I thought if they had to choose, they would keep him. I was wrong about that, but I'm not surprised by it. The A.J. Dillon piece is really interesting. So he has this stinger injury, which is obviously a neck-related injury. He missed the last three games of last season, regular season finale, both playoff games, and then he was diagnosed with this again. I was talking to somebody earlier this afternoon who posited that maybe he never plays again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be really leery of stuff going on in that area of your body, in your neck. And so I don't know, but it's a shame because, as we talked about, he came back in the best shape of his career, and I thought he had really gotten off to a really good start where you thought, okay, this guy took the challenge of getting a crappy contract and no interest on the free agent market. He's ready to be the number two behind Josh Jacobs, and now it's Emmanuel Wilson, and it's a guy with a hamstring injury that I don't think is going to be ready for the opener.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is going to be really interesting what they do at running back.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my question of what position do you think Packers fans should be more worried about? Should it be kicker, running back? Which one should they be more worried about? Because I don't feel confident in either one of them at this point, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you worry if something happens to Love, but you've got one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks in the league there. So as long as he's healthy, there's nothing to worry about, right? At running back, I think you feel really good about Josh Jacobs as your starter. It's just what exactly is this going to look like in both the short term and the long term? And remember, they're going to be able to put in all kinds of waiver wire claims if they so choose. They'll have some options at that position. And again, you can call guys up for the practice squad, so you get 16 guys. It's really more, and with the extra international pathway player in Alex Hill, you get 17 guys. So you got 70 guys that are at your disposal. I would still say kicker because I didn't think that Greg Joseph was like head and shoulders or even a tiny little bit when like you go back to back when you're a kid and I think I got you by like just my hair. I'm not sure that Greg Joseph was significantly or even partially better than Anders Carlson. So I guess I'd have to pick that as my one that I would be more worried about.
Do you think Greg Joseph even makes it through the full season with the Packers? I know you don't like making predictions, but I'm asking you to make a prediction.
God, you sound like a female version of Tausch. I don't know. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he doesn't make it through the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's somebody else that got released that they like better or that they were working on some sort of trade with as the cuts were coming down and it hasn't gone through yet, like, I don't know. Maybe that's possible. But, you know, look, he has experience. He's kicked some game-winning field goals in the clutch for the Vikings. I think, you know, if you spent some time talking to him like a bunch of us did, he's clearly got a very regimented process. I think that probably appeals to them. I'd be curious if maybe the kickoff part of the equation was in any way a factor, because I think Anders kind of struggled a little bit with keeping it out of the end zone. So, again, I look forward to Matt LaFleur and Goody talking to us tomorrow because these are all questions that really need answers.
Talking with Jason Wilde, you can listen to Wilde and Tausch weekdays here on ESPN Wisconsin, 9 to noon. And not to just continue to belabor the kicker thing, I wonder if some of it, though, Carlson reminds me of, like, you always see this like golf, like the long drive competition guy who can't consistently put it in the fairway, and I feel like the waiver wire is full of these big leg kickers who can't put it all together. Greg Joseph, and I'm a little biased, he went to FAU, but Greg Joseph, for his career, inside 30, he's perfect. Even under 40 yards, he's only missed one kick, and so it's really, if you feel like you're going to be close and you want someone that you can rely on very, very much inside of 40, he's the guy. It's 50-plus where he's a disaster, because I think 40 to 49, he's probably league average, but it's that 50-plus where he's only like 50%. And I think it's almost like they have Mason Crosby again, is my point.
Wow. Except he went to FAU, so
right.
You like him better.
Right.
I will say this. I really have enjoyed the conversations I've had with Greg Joseph. He does do the third person thing, which is a little weird.
It's amazing.
Because Jason Wilde doesn't do third person.
Does that make you uncomfortable if he's talking like in the locker room in third person? Or are you just like, icky?
Greg Joseph's got to compete with Greg Joseph. And that's who he's here to compete with. He's not here to compete with Molly Brown. He's not here to compete with Jim Rutledge. He's here to compete. Greg Joseph's got to take care of Greg Joseph. Hey, if that works for him, great. I tend to chuckle when people do that personally. But again, if that's what it clearly worked for him. I mean, he's reached this point where he's the guy. So apparently talking about yourself in the third person is the way to go.
Have you asked him if he's seen Seinfeld? I think Jimmy was the character's name in Seinfeld, where he refers to himself.
Jimmy's going into shock.
right. And then George brings it back as well. George starts doing it. Molly, you've not seen Seinfeld?
No.
I'm guessing no. All right, this Ryan.
Goodness. I mean I've seen
I'm
Seinfeld.
I'm not even like a Seinfeld stan, but neither one of you are even helpful on this.
This is on VHS.
Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Is this on, yeah.
Gracious. Jason, you have the same issue, I'm sure, that I do of like everyone keeps on getting younger, and I, just things that I don't think are old, I just miss.
Yeah, we need to get better at that. Like, yeah. I was actually driving the car earlier today, and Enter Sandman came on. And if you've got it on one of the Sirius XM channels that is 90s on 9 or 80s on 8, it tells you the year. And it was 1991. And I'm like, so this is the equivalent of me when I was growing up in the 80s. Like my parents talking about, like that's even like pre-Beatles,
yeah.
Right? That's like them talking about Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry. I mean, oh my God, I'm ancient. So, you know, between, and here's the other thing. So they trade for Malik Willis, and there's no way that anyone under our age is getting a what you talking about Willis reference. Nobody.
right. No, that's a great point.
I know it from Hannah Montana, but that probably makes you feel really old.
Hannah Montana.
What you Hannah talking
Montana
about, Willis?
Hannah Montana used different Strokes references. Hannah Montana? Wow.
Okay. I don't know. That's
just
that what I know
old
from.
That it's now like in the lexicon where it's like, we're going to need a bigger boat. Like, they don't know it from Jaws. You just know it from something, probably. We're going to need a bigger something. It's like a trope.
I didn't know that was a line. I mean, I've seen Jaws. I played the game, too. I just don't know.
All right, I can't.
There's a great Jaws board game. Your guys' girls would love it.
All right, I can't handle being old for a minute here. Jason, the Packers' 2020 draft class will always be viewed as amazing because they got Jordan Love, but the rest of it, not great, depending on how you feel about A.J. Dillon. And it just goes to, like, I mean, even with, like, the Clifford, we had Nate Tice on yesterday, and he said Clifford viewed by everyone he ever talked to in him as a quarterback as a camp body, like Joel Stave-esque, where, like, you bring him in, you wash your hands of him, you don't draft him. Packers used a fifth-round pick on him, and they used a sixth-round pick on Anders Carlson, and they have a seventh-rounder starting left tackle, so those late picks have value. They used a seventh-rounder to get their new backup quarterback. So, again, I'm not saying these are major blemishes against Goody, but it is always a tightrope that these GMs are walking of good or great to average.
Yeah, I look at the 2020 class, and when you draft A.J. Dillon in the second round, he wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this is the end of the line for him, and I hope if he wants to keep playing that it's not, but
yes.
If this is the end of the line for him, it wasn't good enough. Eddie Lacy was a second-round pick, had back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons as the Packers running back, and people didn't think he was good enough. But he wasn't the mayor of Door County. And look, A.J. Dillon is a fantastic guy. Like, he is impossible to dislike. The girls did with the Tauscher kids, did a thing for Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin with A.J. Dillon. I mean, he is a authentically likable guy. So I don't wish him any ill will. But if we take his – we just call him – running back X, and then we call Eddie Lacy running back Y, we should be saying that Eddie Lacy had five times a better career than running back X if we take out how likable he is. And, you know, Eddie was introverted. He didn't do a lot of stuff in the community. And so no one ever really felt the connection to him the way we all feel to AJ. But he's a disappointment as a second-round pick. I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way. But, yeah, you look at that draft. You know, John Runyon is starting for the Giants, and Jordan Love is the Packers' starting quarterback. That obviously matters. But, you know, and this is – I hate doing this because, first of all GMs miss. And second of all, when I start pointing out his misses, then, oh, Wildy hates Goody. And I've known Goody for 25 years. I'm the only one who still calls him Goody because he and I were buddies way back in training camp, and he was a young scout, and I was a young beat writer. So everybody else, when they ask questions, ask him Brian. I haven't called him Brian in 25 years. So I don't do that, but I look at his drafts, and the 2021 draft, you've got Josh Myers left from it. You've got Eric Stokes, who's clearly been a disappointment, right, as a first-round pick. He's obviously had a lot of injury issues, so that's part of it. And you've got Isaiah McDuffie left from that draft, okay? So now we're into the last three drafts, and most of those guys are on the roster from all three of those drafts, including 9 of the 11 guys that they drafted in the spring. But some of them, if we're, again, being honest, made it based on their draft position, right? Like, Marshawn Lloyd had a hip injury, then he had a hamstring injury. He's on the roster only because he's a third-round pick.
Yep.
You look at the two linebackers they picked, Edgerrin Cooper in the second round and Tyron Hopper in the third round, who I always want to call Chad Hopper, which is not accurate. But both of those guys... they could turn out to be really good players. We have no idea. I would never judge them right now. But the reason why Christian Welch, who was probably your best defensive player all preseason and is a critical special teams piece, is not on your 53-man roster is because you drafted two guys that high. That's the only reason he's not here. So, you know, there is an advantage to being a draft pick. Goody has certainly hit on a bunch of guys. I was talking with Primetime Wollersheim while I was waiting for you guys, and I was surprised that Anthony Johnson got released. I assume they're going to try and get him back on the practice squad, but he played a hell of a lot and was with the ones at different parts of training camp, and so for him to get released was a little bit of a surprise. But again, they've got a lot of young talent, and I'm eager to get the season started. I'm eager to see if they can stay healthy so they can have all these young guys be productive, and I'm eager to see where it takes them.
Jason, I know hindsight is 20/20, but now looking back at what the Packers could have done a few months ago when they got Josh Jacobs, and then when Aaron Jones was still on the roster and it was the best 10 seconds of my life being a Green Bay Packers fan, do you think that Brian Gutekunst, like, is looking back at that just with massive regret? Is that going to be the biggest regret of the season for this team, is letting go of Aaron Jones?
It may be a regret, but I don't think he regrets it. Like, I think he had made his mind up. Like, this is, you know, again, there's an aspect to this that is a little bit duplicitous because, as you pointed out, those two guys were never going to be on the roster together, ever. And what happened was Goody made him an offer, as opposed to an offer you can't refuse. Goody made him an offer he had to refuse because, I mean, it wasn't as insulting as the offer that Jordy got when they kind of pretended they wanted him back, or the offer that Davante Adams got when he was already 1 foot and his torso out the door. But the offer they made to Aaron Jones was, hey, this is what it really meant. Hey, we don't really want you, but if you want to come back really cheap, I guess we'll take you back. And once he said no, there was no 1-2 punch of him with Josh Jacobs. I don't think Goody regrets that at all. And I'll be honest, I love Aaron Jones. Authentically great dude. Really enjoyed covering him. I'm guessing with the Vikings, he's probably going to have injury issues, and he's probably not going to match the production he had with 5 straight 100-yard games down the stretch last year.
Jason, that's a great way to end it there. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde. I'm sure he would have loved to have joined us at Rooster Creek Steakhouse last week because we had a great time out there. In fact, we had such a good time that even some of the technical difficulties we had to work through didn't matter because we were eating steak sandwiches and drinking Coors Light and creme brulee and having a wonderful time out there with Lee over at Rooster Creek Steakhouse. Whatever the occasion, head out to Rooster Creek Steakhouse in Middleton. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Also brought to you by J&K Security Solutions, securing homes and businesses in the Madison area since 1987.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.